After dinner, every man and woman was free to do what he wished, as long as he broke no local laws. He could barter the cigarettes and liquor provided by his grail, or the fish he'd caught in the river, for a better bow and arrows, shields, bowls and cups, tables and chairs, bamboo flutes, clay trumpets, human or fish-skin drums, rare stones, which really were rare, necklaces made of the beautifully articulated and colored bones of the deep river fish, or jade, or of carved wood, obsidian mirrors, sandals and shoes, charcoal drawings, the rare and expensive bamboo paper, ink and fishbone pens, hats made from the long, tough, fibered hill grass, bull roarers, little wagons on which to ride down the hillsides, harps made from wood with strings fashioned from the gut of the dragonfish, rings of oak for fingers and toes, clay statuettes and other devices, useful or ornamental. Later, of course, there was the lovemaking Burton and his hutmates were denied for the time being. Only when they had been accepted as full citizens would they be allowed to move into separate houses and live with a woman. John Collop was a short, slight youth with long yellow hair, a narrow but pleasant face, and large blue eyes with very long, upcurving black eyelashes. In his first conversation with Burton, he had said, after introducing himself, "I was delivered from the darkness of my mother's womb. Who else? Into the light of God of Earth in 1625. Far too quickly I descended again into the womb of Mother Nature, confident in the hope of resurrection, and not disappointed, as you see. Though I must confess that this afterlife is not that which the parsons led me to expect. But then, how should they know the truth, poor blind devils leading the blind?" It was not long before Collop told him that he was a member of the Church of the Second Chance. Burton's eyebrows rose. He had encountered this new religion at many places along the river. Burton, though an infidel, made it his business to investigate thoroughly every religion. Know a man's faith, and you knew at least half the man. Know his wife, and you knew the other half. The church had a few simple tenets, some based on fact, most on surmise and hope and wish. In this, they differed from no religions born on earth. But the Second Chancers had one advantage over any terrestrial religion. They had no difficulty in proving that dead men could be raised, not only once, but often. "And why has mankind been given a second chance?" Collop said in his low, earnest voice. "Does he deserve it? No. With few exceptions, men are a mean, miserable, petty, vicious, narrow-minded, exceedingly egotistic, generally disputing and disgusting lot. Watching them, the gods, or God, should vomit. But in this divine spew is a clot of compassion, if you will pardon me for using such imagery. Man, however base, has a silver wire of the divine in him. It is no idle phrase that man was made in God's image. There is something worth saving in the worst of us, and out of this something, a new man may be fashioned. Whoever has given us this new opportunity to save our souls knows this truth. We have been placed here in this river valley, on this alien planet under alien skies, to work out our salvation. What our time limit is, I do not know, nor do the leaders of my church even speculate. Perhaps it is forever, or it may be only 100 years or 1,000, but we must make use of whatever time we do have, my friend." Burton said, "Weren't you sacrificed on the altar of Odin by Norse who clung to the old religion, even if this world isn't the Valhalla they were promised by their priests? Don't you think you've wasted your time and breath by preaching to them? They believe in the same old gods, the only difference in their theology now being some adjustments they've made to conditions here, just as you have clung to your old faith." "The Norse have no explanations for their new surroundings," Collop said, "but I do. I have a reasonable explanation, one which the Norse will eventually come to accept, to believe in as fervently as I do. They killed me, but some more persuasive member of the church will come along and talk to them before they stretch him out in the wooden lap of their wooden idol and stab him in the heart. If he doesn't talk them out of him, the next missionary will.